CliffCentral.com.
All right, how do you like that? That's Sia with Sean Paul and Cheap Thrills. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning, 29th of June. One day left of the month of June, and then before you know it, it'll be July. All right, what's happening? Flax, have we got Obi-Wan in there?
Yes, we do.
All right, this is a man I wanted to talk to for a long time. He's on Forbes Africa's cover. He has a company called Invictus, which he named after, you know, Madiba's favorite poem. Do you remember? The one that was...
I thought it was a rugby movie.
It was a rugby movie, but it was based on a poem that Madiba loved, and he used to read when he was in prison. And Obi-Wan had decided to name his company after that. Obi-Wan, you know that, you must get this all the time, but people saying that your name looks like, and I know it probably doesn't have anything to do with it, but that it sounds like it comes from Star Wars, right?
Yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I used to have my friends call me that, you know.
So yeah. Is it right that I pronounce it Obi-Wan?
Yes, perfect.
Very nice to talk to you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Listen, you're 28 years old, and you've already built this incredible business. You deal in construction, oil and gas, agricultural development. First of all, congratulations on getting all of this done at the age of 28. I mean, that's spectacular.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it must feel good to be successful so early in life because, you know, you've got so much time ahead of you still to achieve many great things. And to have built a business, and you were not raised with money. You did not have you didn't have money when you were younger. You actually bought your mom a house. It was one of the first things you did, right? When you made some cash.
Yes.
So tell us about your background.
It's nothing really. It's not anything silver if you would compare it to what you would think where I'm coming from, but I had a humble background, and that was all I needed to motivate me to do what I did, because I felt like I needed to give my family, especially my mom, something different, something better. And that is what had pushed me to do whatever it is that I'm doing today.
Yeah, you were raised in a tiny little village called Ukpor, right?
And
you
Ukpor,
had,
yes.
You had 16 brothers and sisters.
Exactly. Could you believe that?
Unbelievable. And you also lost your dad when you were really young at, what, 16?
Yeah, I was barely 16.
Unbelievable. So you went to boarding school. How do you know that, I mean, how did you know at the time that you had a flair for some kind of entrepreneurship, that you were a businessman just waiting to be unleashed on the world? Was it something that was clear to your family? Was it something that you picked up in yourself? How did you know that this is something you wanted to do?
It hadn't always been clear, because obviously, like in Nigeria, whenever you're growing up, they want you to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, and all sorts of corporate careers. So as a child, I had wanted to be a doctor. But then things took turn when my dad passed. I had to take my own life into my own hands, and immediately I had to start harnessing whatever it is that I had in me that I wanted to show the world, or whatever it is that I felt like I could offer at that time. And that was the first time I actually did my first business. So once that was successful, I thought that this is something that I could do. But my mom was a teacher, and she wanted me to go to school. So I felt like I needed to go to school to fulfill her own righteousness. And since then, my certificate is just hanging on the wall, and I'm doing business.
Now, I'm fascinated by the fact that all of this started because you say you had a dream.
Yes.
A lot of people think that in order to become really rich and successful, you need to have a lot of resources, you need to have a lot of connections, you need to be willing to do sometimes very bad things. You're saying all you need is a dream.
All you need is a dream, but then it's not limited to just a dream, because if you dream and not work on it, then it just remains just a dream. And if you go to the burial ground or the cemetery, what you find is dead dreams. So you won't be the only one that have dreamt before. So what you do is, as soon as you dream, you get up and work on it. And by working on it, that means you have to persistently pursue what it is that you've come up with. And while you're doing that, you have to persevere as well. So I just don't think it's only dream, but that is the first stepping point.
I'm interested too that you said to you know, your mom was a teacher and she wanted you to go to school, but you didn't stop after school. You ended up doing a bachelor's degree and then later on, a master's degree in politics and counterterrorism. That's an interesting field of study.
The moment, because I actually did my master's in Australia when I arrived, I was going to register for my first classes, and the professor had said to me, they know my result and they know my background because I did international relations. Would I want to pick up something else? Because it was the first university actually to offer a master's course in counterterrorism. And being that my country was going through what it was going through at that moment and still going through, I felt like it would be something that is an added value to my portfolio or my resume. So I picked up and I actually did a double major in my master's.
And obviously being in Nigeria, I mean, counterterrorism is something that they're very much concerned with at the moment. The new president is quite new on the scene. With what's going on with Boko Haram, obviously you must have some opinions about that.
I definitely have some opinions, but being that I'm not in the government, I would only watch what they do and how they tackle it. For me, I'm a businessman for now. Mm-hmm. And in my business, actually, it's not only about capitalism. I call myself a social capitalist. So that means I care about the welfare of the people, and I'm driven by creating employment and trying to find solutions that can move our continent forward. So that is what bothers me at the moment. And I feel like the moment that we can be able to accept ourselves together as brothers, be it in Nigeria, be it across the world, that is when terrorism will end. Because if we keep fighting it individually, then we're not going to get to the end of the menace.
Obi-Wan, it's always interesting to me to hear from people in Nigeria and people who are Nigerian and the rest of the African continent making a big difference. Is there something about the attitude that Nigerians have about their place in the world? I feel like Nigerians are proud of who they are. They're proud of where they come from. They feel like they can solve a lot of problems. They feel like they're keen to work hard. They see solutions instead of trouble. Is there something special in being Nigerian? Is there some way you're raised? Is there some thing your parents teach you early on that the rest of us aren't getting yet?
I would obviously I'll be biased by making preference to us being Nigerians and how we like to pursue situations, but it wouldn't be a bad thing for me to accept that we have this diehard attitude that we exhibit. And being that we come from a place where we don't get so much from the government, So we try so much to find a gap or something that we can be able to fill. And if that is going to earn us financial freedom, then that is what is going to happen. And you find out that when you're in discomfort, you think critically and you become creative in your thinking. So I feel like from a comfort zone, you can't really be able to come up with innovative ideas. I'm not saying that you can't literally, but when you're in a place of discomfort, it helps you to be able to think more critically and more creatively. I mean, so I think that would be something that has helped us in the past.
If you just look at the number of Nigerian entrepreneurs who've really made it big across the whole African continent, wherever they've gone, they've just created business and done amazing deals and it seems turned things that might have been losses into profits. I think it's just an incredible, it can't just be down to chance. There must be something special going on in that attitude.
No, yeah, of course, because we also people that take high risk. You can take, for example, someone like Aliko Dangote. He's someone that is invested in almost every African country, and without looking at any foreign policy or report by either the Western media, mm-hmm. how they obviously portray the African economy as being unsafe and risky. Mm-hmm. But what he has done is he finds opportunity in every country and he goes into that place and invests massively. So that tells you that he's a risk taker. And when he starts to reap the benefit, you would hope that, or you would have wished that you went there before him. But then before then, nobody wants to go there because we believe what the Western media has probably portrayed about the country and why you should not invest in that country. But he goes ahead of you and he puts his money there. So when he starts reaping the benefits, then you would find out that he had the foresight and he's a risk taker. So as an entrepreneur, you have to be a risk taker because that's the only chance that comes to you.
And obviously, the more there is a risk, the greater the chance of reward, right?
Of course, of course. Because an entrepreneur is someone who doesn't have a salary but could be able to get a life earnings in a day or lose it all in a day as well. So you can either take calculated risk or, you know, or you don't, or you're not an entrepreneur, you just become an employee.
Obi-Wan, do you think that that your success is an extraordinary thing, or do you think it's something that everyone can attain if they just get their attitude right and if they just make the work happen?
I don't see it as extraordinary because I believe I don't have any, I haven't had connections, I haven't had contacts everywhere or anywhere that I've ever done business. All I did was just work on whatever plan that I brought on the table and persevere and work hard on it. So I believe it's something anyone can attain if you truly desire it, if it's truly what you want to do, and if it's truly what you want to bring to reality. So it all depends on your self-belief, because if you don't believe in yourself, then you can't convince the next client.
And no one else is going to do it for you, right?
Exactly, exactly. If you can't convince the client, nobody can do it for you.
Not even government?
No, not even government. Even if they give you money and you cannot sell the business to the end user, then why did you even call it funding in the first place?
Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. I think that it's terrific. You're on the Forbes Africa cover. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on your company.
Thank you very much, Garrett.
You have 100 part-time employees across 9 companies, and you are only 28 years old. Nice, man.
Yes.
Congratulations. If you're ever in South Africa, come and visit us.
I was there last week. I come around all the time. So, yeah, I'll keep in touch.
Yeah, please do. Come and see us. It would be great to meet you.
Wonderful. All wonderful. Right,
nice to speak to you. There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Obi-Wan Okeke, who is on the cover of Forbes Africa. Sounds like a successful and very smart, down-to-earth dude, right?
Yeah, definitely doing great things with his life.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back in a moment or two, we're going to meet some of these ladies. Now, I don't know whether you've watched this show, Mubs. It's about the life of some South African women. They give us complete access to their lives, their relationships, their careers, their homes, their hobbies. They're a mixture of married, single, divorced, 28 to 38 years old. And everybody's in there. Nazli Delport, Stevie French, Puleng Mashspies. This is an incredible show that if you haven't watched it yet, if you haven't seen this show before, then maybe you'll have no idea who these people are. But I can tell you something. If you don't know who they are yet, you will soon. Because they're the kind of people who are making massive noise everywhere they go. They are, of course, the divas of Jozi. You know, you've got these housewives of, you know, Atlanta, Housewives of New York, Miami,
Beverly Hills.
Right, and they're all, that's incredible. So why shouldn't we have Divas of Jozi? Do you want to meet them?
Sure.
They're coming in next. CliffCentral.com, Wednesday morning. We're going to meet the Divas of Jozi. I've met Puleng before once. I think she was here a while ago. I don't even know if they get along. I don't know if they love each other or hate each other or whether that changes from episode to episode. But they've also been talking about putting this show on for a long time, right? I mean, I heard them saying that this show was going to go on years ago. Right, Mubs?
Yeah. I mean, we know Puleng because one morning she came in and she brought us champagne and all sorts of other goodies.
Yeah, hello, ladies. Come on, have a seat here. Come on, make yourselves comfortable. Yeah, I remember. How are you, Puleng? I haven't seen you in ages. You good?
I'm good.
Yeah, you didn't bring me champagne today.
No.
To hell with you. I'm over you already. I mean, come on. You can't bring us champagne once and then not again. It's like when you say to the child, here's a toy, and then the next time you come, you don't bring a toy.
Yeah, I forgot, eh?
Puleng Mashspies and Nazli Delport and Stevie French. Very nice to meet all three of you. Yeah, very nice to have you here. All right, ladies. So, how's the show going? I mean, is it all recorded? So, this is stuff that happened a year ago or something? Or is it... stuff that's happening live. What's the story?
It's happening now. Yeah, we're not using. I don't think we're using the old footage, as we have new additions to the family.
So the old footage, is that just going to be canned?
No, we are not sure. They might show because, I mean, we've been shooting since 2014. Yeah. And it's a good footage, so I don't think they will just chuck that out.
Right. Some of the people are hoping that they'll chuck it out, though.
Why? Because is it
like
embarrassing?
I got a little nasty at some point.
Now, are you three original? Like, you were part of the...
I'm new. The two of us are.
Stevie's
like,
new?
Like, we're the OGs.
Okay, so Nazli and Puleng, you two are old, and you know what this show is all about. I don't mean you're old in terms of age, but you've been on this road.
Yes.
All right, so why has it taken so long for it to get to screen? Because we've been waiting for this.
Yes, I'm going to let you take that, Puleng.
You want to put me in trouble now?
No. Whatever you say is just an opinion. You don't speak for the production company. So.
Sure, we're not sure. It's all behind the scenes. Things that
what I would say is good things come to those who wait.
So. Okay.
Well done.
Pauline's great like that. She just has these like post-it quotes that she pulls out whenever you need them.
Now, what I need to know, can I compare this to those Real Housewives shows?
Pretty much.
Is that kind of what it is?
That is what it's okay. Similar. It's similar.
I found myself watching one of these the other day, and I was pulled in.
Yeah, like a car crash, right?
Yeah. But
it's like it's a mess and you can't look away. No, but our show is a little bit different. I'd say we're all, you know, we're wives, we're mothers, we're businesswomen, we're friends, we're sisters, and we're daughters. And
you're really not doing a good job of selling this
at
all.
But then the wine comes out.
Wives and sisters and daughters.
But I got to say this.
But
though,
the point is that, like, you know, we're all of those wonderful things. But then you put all these women together in a room around a bottle of wine,
change. Yeah, I want to hear about fights and affairs. Well, and
oh Lord! But the thing is, we all different cultures. Various different cultures we have here. So, also coming from different backgrounds, and the wine does get involved. So we have very strong opinions,
right.
And very, very easily a lot of
things go wrong. Are you all? Not all of you are married. Some of you are single, right?
Yes.
Nazli's
divorced. I'm divorced.
Yeah,
divorced.
Puleng and I are...
Happy days for you.
Yeah, Puleng and I are married, and one of the other girls, two of the other girls are single, okay. One other girl is...
Christy's
engaged,
engaged,
think.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
but
three
Amy's,
married.
Well, Amy's dating someone.
All right, now, who are your significant others, Puleng and Stevie?
My significant other is Alistair. Those who listen to the Ladies Roundtable on Tuesdays on Ari's show will know. We've been together since high school, so...
That's kind of... that's almost like one of those Hollywood, you know, it's like those movies where people fall in love at high school.
Yeah.
You've always been together. You've always loved each other.
We were I met him when I was 14, you know, like Jeez. He's the only boyfriend I've ever
had. Wow.
Yeah, we've been married four
and a
half years now.
You should be in a museum.
Right.
Never
met more than a reality show. A museum would probably be more appropriate.
It's incredible. You got kids?
No kids, although we do have a Boston Terrier named Samantha.
Oh, wow.
Who is our child and for every
you sound,
sense of
you
the
sound
word.
Way too perfect, Stevie.
Right.
Well, you said it, not me, Gareth.
I think these other girls have lots of reasons to hate you already, just judging by your...
Just wait for the diary session.
Your high school romance. Your high school romance. Your you know, your little bull... What kind of dog is it?
Boston Terrier.
Boston Terrier.
It's like a French bulldog.
Oh, you're not allowed to call
skinnier.
Her Sam. You have to call her Samantha.
Her name is
apparently.
Samantha.
How
like,
sad
everyone's
is that?
Like, oh, you call her Sam? No, her name is Samantha.
That's sad.
But Puleng has been married for over 10 years now. Yeah.
To my gentle giant Afrikaner, Mr.
Oh, that's
Spieth.
Right. You married to an Afrikaans guy.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all working out well for you two.
You know what? We've got our moments, like, you know, with the racism and
like
stuff
every
that
marriage.
Happens.
Do you ever call him, like, honky and...
no.
You white bastard.
No, sometimes when I see racism, like, I'm like, yeah, you're people that... Doing this, yeah. Now, I take my frustration, my anger, like, you know what?
And what does he say to you? Yes, me, my mate, say to you.
No, you know what? He can speak Sepedi, eh?
Ah.
Oh, well done.
He can speak Sepedi.
So if you speak Sepedi to your friends, then he knows what you're doing. Uh-oh. That could be, well, it could be interesting. It could be good or bad.
We had a wonderful kind of conversation over a cup of tea about their relationship and how, you know, people look at them and they think one thing and it's actually the complete opposite. And I think, you know, first impressions, there are a lot of first impressions that are going to be debunked on the show.
So you guys, you have to watch that episode.
It was powerful.
Yeah,
to say
it's
the
funny
least.
Though because
there's
like,
a lot of tears.
Pulling Salt herself is like a badass. She's like, yeah, whatever. I say what I want, and I don't care what people think. But actually, deep down inside, she's a real softie.
And then Stevie sells herself as a real goody two shoes, but deep down inside, she's a real badass, right? Yeah.
Right, but what about you, Nazzy?
Okay.
Give me your story. Give me the backstory.
I was married. Have a beautiful little girl. I'm from Cape Town. I'm from the Cape Flats. I've got a bit of a twang because I lived everywhere for at least 7 years. Came back, lost the Cape.
You're Flats. From the Cape Flats, but I don't see any knife wounds. I mean, come on.
It's all hidden, honey.
That's my people.
Shout out to my Cape Town.
Let me just be clear to people in the Cape Flats who are offended by that. I am joking.
Gosh, no. Right. Oh, they know. No, we're all tough cookies. We know how to handle things. I'm an image coach, and I just try and make this world a little prettier.
Well,
I work with the youth also, empowering young women, because especially where I come from, I know what it's like not to have anybody to look up to or to just tell you, you know, you can do it, you know, and look where I am today, and I just try and give back in that way.
Do you guys all have to have money on this show? I mean, you don't want someone poor on the show, right? That you're not going to be able to be mean.
Well,
to
then
them.
I should probably not be sitting here right now.
Are you poor?
I'm building my brand.
Hashtag building my brand. That should be, we should like tweet a picture of one ply toilet paper and be like, hashtag building my brand.
Well, I work pretty hard. I'm single mom and I'm doing really good.
But that's the difference. You do have, you know, people who are established women who are in their, you know, in their 30s who have a very secure life. And then you have, you know, then you have Nazli, who's a single mom. And then you have myself, who's still in her 20s and who is, you know, building a life with her partner. So, you know,
Do you have children, Puleng?
Yes, I do. From my previous marriage. I got married when I...
You must have been really young. I mean, you can't...
I was 19.
How old are you now?
34.
Okay, you look great.
Thank you. She's 34. Wink.
All three of you. Listen, I won't take this away. You don't want a show with ugly people.
Oh, true
story. Right? Let's be fair. A lot of people don't like to talk about this in television.
The only thing that's worse than poor people is ugly people.
True. No, very true.
I like that. All right. Here you are, you three. I don't know about the other women. They might be hideous to look at. I don't know.
We are all gorgeous.
They all have. Oh.
But here I've got you three sitting in front of me. Very attractive. Mubs, you agree, right?
Absolutely.
So good-looking women. And that's already, from a ratings point of view, you want good-looking people.
Nice.
So is there a lot of gossiping, and do you ever talk about each other to the camera and only later when the show is aired?
We do gossip. 1,000%. We do gossip.
And the thing is you sit there and you kind of think, okay, these are the things that I'm feeling, and it's going to be funny if I say it, but then like I'm putting my relationship with this person in like real jeopardy.
Yeah, it's also a show. It's also entertainment at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We have different personalities, but the production team, they're also smart.
Yeah,
they would ask you like, so what do you think of Stevie?
How much do they follow you around? I mean, are they in your life the whole time, or is it one day a week that they film you? How does it work?
We give them a schedule. Yeah. So what's happening in our life next week? I've got a talk, or I'm doing a consultation.
It's most days of the week, but not all day. Like, they don't come home with us and watch us wash our faces and feed Samantha.
Like, next week I'm doing my boobs, so I'm going to be going with Nesle.
This is a point of my attention.
What are you doing to your boobs?
You don't need any
work
there.
You have perfect breasts.
They're fantastic. They must
they're
be. Okay.
Massive. They're also huge.
This is my talent. Watch. you have C-cup breasts.
Oh, no. That's small.
D.
Okay. She's a double D.
I can't see because of your jacket, but I would have said
that's
just from the cleavage. No, just from the cleavage, I said C. But if you say D, now you want to go even bigger?
Yes.
What are you going for?
Probably E.
Oh, you're kidding.
And you're going in next week?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's going for a consultation. And she's starting an Instagram account for them.
For the breasts.
Wow, just for your breasts.
The one is called Mash and the other is called Speece.
Oh, wow. this is fantastic.
But like, it's like we argue about this on the show with her all the time. Yeah. Like people are mad about it that she's going to, for a consultation.
Yeah, Amy, she's against this. Yeah, because she. I think she just recently
back problem.
Let me just check, because you know, if you want this, this is for you. Mm. Then nobody has any.
For sure. Was just advising her because Amy had it in the past, and it gives you back problems. So just what we said is go and get some advice.
This is a bad idea, bro.
But they said to me, I'm gonna have a back pain and other stuff, and I said, you know what? Listen, I'm from the hood. Good. I'm from the village.
Yes.
If I grew up carrying a bucket of 20 liter water
on your head,
yes,
I can carry anything.
And you can carry a pair of nice titties, right?
Yes!
Sure. Okay, now, big titties, they do cause back pain. Does Amy have big titties as well?
She used to. She now has very nice, petite large. No, they're not petite.
I haven't seen her boobs, they're decently
sized.
So did she have a reduction?
She took the silicones out.
Because it started giving her back aches. Sorry, Amy, that we're discussing you. We love you, girl.
Oh, that's all right. I'm sure that this is stuff that she would talk about anyway.
Tune in Monday night.
Yeah, all right. So the show is on a Monday night on SABC3.
Yes.
Finally, Divas of Jersey comes to South African television. We've been waiting for this for the longest time. All that stuff that you filmed before is going to be thrown in the can. What a pity.
No, we are not sure.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Well, the producers are like, oh, the footage isn't going to be used. But I can almost see them behind the WhatsApp going, right. they shouldn't even know.
And do you all communicate in real life? Like you're all actually in each other's company.
Yes.
How did you meet each other? For the first time on set or... Did you meet each other?
3 years ago.
Like every other woman in Joburg at Tash's.
3 years ago we met through the Housewives.
Yeah.
We were the original two.
Yeah.
And we became friends.
Nasli and I met over Twitter.
That's right.
And I invited her to Ladies Roundtable.
That's right. And we see Amy at a shop quite often.
When we go to Sandton.
Sarisha too.
All right. Tell me about this Sarisha. You've been quiet about her.
No, she's lovely. Sarisha's like the most wonderful, generous, open-hearted person that
Very
you'll
true.
Meet.
Very true.
She's just lovely.
You don't know her? Sarisha Naidu?
I don't think I met her.
She used to be on... She was Miss India South Africa. She was on Scandal.
She was in radio.
So
they live...
She's also hot then.
Very.
Amy, good looking?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Check out her Instagram, actually. She posted a picture of herself in, like, a spiked silver bra last night.
She's nice. Sorry.
What about the men? I mean, do they even play a part in this show? Are they just accessories?
No.
You don't need them.
They're definitely going to be coming in and out, but the show is about women.
I don't have a man, so how
do your husbands, Buleng and Stevie, how do they feel about this show?
Now, you know what? Fred, he does support me, but he doesn't want to be on TV, and my kids, they're not going to be there.
Oh, so we can't see him and your children. No. You guys will discuss stuff, but you won't necessarily let them have your husband on screen.
And I don't want my kids to be there because I think they will be bullied at school and, you know, people.
Yeah. Sure.
So I'm protecting them.
All right. Have you guys got some money? I mean, do you live in a really nice house and that kind of thing?
No, we just recently sold our house in Dainfern, so I will be house shopping.
Is this part of the show?
Yes.
Wow. You really do let people in.
New boobs, new house.
You're having a good life.
We were in Durban the other weekend, and we were literally there for two nights. I brought a little carry-on roller bag. Yes. Puleng brings out this, like, I'm going to London for a week suitcase. She brought, I think, eight pairs of Louboutins.
Yep.
And a pair of high heels from Mr. Price.
Just to balance it out. Yeah.
So you guys do, you kind of live the high life, right?
Some of us.
Yeah. You know, I guess I don't like anybody look good on a budget or where I walk into a designer store with clients because that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, Nazi, so this is really, what you do, right?
Yeah, so to me, I can make anything work.
All right, who's the best dressed on the show?
No, there's competition, no doubt.
Really?
No doubt.
But I think it's interesting, we all have such different styles.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that Puleng is actually, like, closest to my style.
I don't think so at all.
You don't think so?
No, honey. No.
What? She just got a low five, as in, like, don't worry, Puleng. Your style is way better.
No, you know what I like about
her? Puleng steps it up. Like, really steps it up.
Listen, what she said. She said, babe, you know what? When it comes to your shoes, are you...
Yeah. This is turning into a fight. Let me hear. Come on.
Oh, no, okay. I did say that Puling does give everybody a run for their money with the shoes. That's the thing. Okay. Siva, you always look great, no doubt.
Don't come to me now. What is said has been said, Natalie.
I'm sorry. It had to be said.
Monday night, SABC3. 9 p.m.
The real fight.
Watch it.
Now, have the producers told you that there is it's no holds barred? In other words, if a fight did break out, you would
have
to go.
There's a clause in our contract.
Yeah.
It's like you are not allowed to be violent. Mm. Although if you are violent, we're gonna get it on camera, and you can't sue us if we do.
Oh no, but
sounds
no,
good.
No, yeah. Don't pull at my hair. No,
but some of us, because we've got businesses, we can't.
Yeah,
we
moms.
I can't pull her hair or whatever because I can't. It's
just,
my brand.
It's just
and
gross to me. Yeah. That's gross.
But we do fight, like, you know.
Use your words.
Sometimes we are bitchy, especially me and her.
Yeah, use your words.
You and Natalie are bitchy with each other?
Sometimes.
All right, who's the most dangerous out of the five of you?
I won't mess with her. Her mouth is like verbal diarrhea, and you never know what's going to come out.
So you are most frightened of Puling.
True
out of
story.
Everybody. Okay, cool.
Because I come from the township, and
she'll go hood on me,
and she will go wretched on me like a gangster, like from the Capelets.
No, girl, no.
Guys, we're playing into stereotypes here. Come
on. And nobody's afraid of Stevie, right?
Unless you bring Samantha along.
Yeah, you bring a dog in. And
I know.
Black people do not like that.
No, but I'm all about the words. So, you know, a good fight is healthy sometimes. Yeah. Good words.
All right. Okay. There's going to be no husband swapping or any of that shit going on,
oh,
right?
Oh, good gracious.
I guess I need to find one first.
Are you on the hunt?
Oh, they're going to set me up on a blind date. I'm really not looking, but if it comes, it comes.
Well,
I'm going to be dating a
lot. Would you do this blind date on the show?
Yeah, why not? It'd be interesting.
Do you think that maybe that if you do meet someone, what if they're really nice and you're doing it for the show and it doesn't work out because it's for the show, you might have missed out on someone really cool?
No, but it will be real. Like if I'm sitting down with somebody, I'm going in there not wasting my time. I'm going to go in there with the potentially actually liking the person, you know, not just for TV.
And I mean, I think the thing is like this is real.
Yeah.
This is our real lives. I mean, they're following us doing the things that we do every day. These conversations that we have, like we sit down and we're aware of where we should be sitting so that the cameras have us. And then the cameras just sit there and we talk and talk. And then like we have dinner and we drink wine and we forget that the cameras are there. And then all of a sudden we see like a red light blinking and we're like, okay, we need to stop talking about this.
There's dancing, or not, there's crying, there's laughing. There's rolling of the eyes,
side glances.
And do you guys allow the cameras to follow you out at night and that kind of thing too? Where are the limits? Are there certain things that you don't want them to put on camera? You said, Puling, you said that your husband and your kids are off limits.
Mm-hmm.
Any other things? I mean, Stevie, is there anything for you that you wouldn't want on TV?
I don't think so.
I guess my bedroom.
Your bedroom.
There's nothing happening there anyway. So.
Yeah, your bedroom. I heard your bedroom is like the Sahara Desert at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of sand.
Camels
just ran through
your
bedroom.
You can hear a pin drop. Yeah.
Shame, that's terrible. We've got to sort something
out. It's a
little
cold outside, though.
Damn. Yeah, you're sleeping on your own in this cold.
You know, I think like I'm just throughout this whole process. You know, people are saying like, "Oh, are you watching what you say? Are you being guarded? Like, who's the person that you're trying to be?" But I'm just being myself because I feel like if you're gonna be something else, you're going to slip up, and then it's gonna come across even worse.
But you've all been on TV before, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I have.
We didn't quite go on. Yeah.
Nasli and Puling, you've been on camera before.
Yes.
Right. So you understand that. And you come from a TV background, right, Stevie?
So I am a TV presenter. I'm an actress and obviously in radio as well. So this is what I do. Yeah. It's actually quite difficult for me because I've produced so much of my own work in the past. Mm. So when the camera crew arrives, I'm like, okay, hey guys, all right, so we're going to get that shot, we're going to get that shot. And then like I stop my life and I say, okay, do you want a shot of me like putting my card into like the door? And they go, it's fine, just do it. So I really have to like step back and stop producing my own like
segment. Yeah, it could get annoying. Actually, she did that with us in Durban.
I know.
Let's do this. Come, let's walk this again. I'm like,
Even like the other day when Nasli walked into a room and she did it so awkwardly and I was like, Nasli, just stop, just do that again. That was so awkward.
I didn't hear that. But we appreciate that.
I would imagine also like there's certain stuff that you you don't really want them to see you putting on your makeup or, you know.
Oh, I don't mind.
We kind of wake up like this.
You do? Wow. Then you're all doing something right. Yeah, I mean, if like, anyone who wakes
well,
up.
Well, I didn't wake up. Like
I don't want them to, I definitely don't want them to
what
walk
if,
in
what
when
if you're
I just
having
woke
a
up.
Horrible day is my point. What if you're really in a bad mood? Let's say you've got some bad news. Let's say there's a whole lot of personal shit you're dealing with. And then you've got these cameras in your face.
You know what happened when we were in Durban shooting? My ex-husband was supposed to drop my son at my house. So he didn't do that. So I got so upset. Like, I didn't even want the camera. I was, like, saying F everywhere. So my whole day was messed up. Even the ladies, they were saying, oh, Bulen, you didn't get your drink. Because normally I'm quiet. But after a few drinks, I'm loud.
Yeah.
So that day, I was so upset. I even called my ex-husband. I told him, because you know what? You were supposed to drop the child, and now the child's going to sleep there, and no, that is not on. So yeah. I was so mad.
I think it's very important also when these real issues happen, like we have to have them filmed, because it speaks to a lot of people. You know, this is real life.
Yeah.
You know, I'd hate for anything bad to happen, though, but...
If it happens, it happens.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're having a really good day, obviously, then, you know.
Bring it on!
Wait, then they know where to be found.
And there's no problem with not enough drinking on this show, is there?
Oh, no. Pling does not have breakfast. This is a fact.
Yeah.
She wakes up and she has red wine or she has some champagne.
Straight away.
And we had breakfast at the hotel and they would ask her, what do you want to eat? She's like, no. Put my breakfast in the glass. And they laugh with her. And she's like, no, put my breakfast in the glass.
Huh.
And until after lunchtime, like I think around 2 o'clock, she starts eating. I don't know how she keeps it up straight.
Is that what you do?
No, I'm so used to it. Like even my husband, he knows. Like when I wake up, I don't drink coffee. He has to give me a glass of red wine in the morning.
She's open about it. She's
straight
like,
away.
Yeah,
straight away.
So after the show, it's going to be Ladies of Joburg, the AA edition.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop until she goes to bed. Like, no shit. It's crazy.
Well, she did arrive here one morning.
Hello, baby.
As my buddy said, she arrived here one morning and she had a bottle of champagne for us. And you were on some other show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She came in.
Probably Jen Sue and Jason von Berg, The Buzz, all of that stuff, right?
She's been on a few.
She's been on a couple of shows.
She dissed some minister on 10 over 10.
You dissed a minister?
Oh, yeah, on 10 over 10.
Figile.
What did you say about him?
I said, he's a bully. He must stay off Twitter.
And everyone was sitting on the show and going, oh, no, we're not. We don't talk about politicians. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And Pulen comes on and she's like, hi.
I love it.
Is there anything you aren't allowed to talk about?
No, not that I know of.
On the show?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Free-flowing opinion.
Yeah. Like your show.
You're being normal people,
I like
right?
That. Yeah. Absolutely.
Being irregular. Trying to put up a fake, artificial thing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, ladies, it sounds awesome. That is on Monday night, 8 p.m., SABC3.
That's
and
right.
It's called Divas of Josie.
Yes, sir.
Tune awesome. In, guys.
Oh, yeah, no, it's at 9 p.m.
9?
Oh, is it 9
p.m.
Oh, it says 8. No. It says 8
as
o'clock
saying,
everywhere.
As I was saying, 9 p.m.
Oh.
That's what it said.
It's 9 p.m.
I thought it was 8 p.m. too. Our director just tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, X-nay on the Oopits day.
Okay, so 9 p.m.
It's right. 9 p.m.
Thank you, ladies. It's a pleasure to meet you
thank
all.
You,
there we
you.
Go. We've got Nazli and we've got Buleng and we've got Stevie, three thank of you. The real the divas of Johannesburg.
Thanks for having
and
us.
All the, oh, please.
That
it's
was
a pleasure.
Fun.
And why wouldn't I? Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
In. All right, when we see you tomorrow, we will catch up on all the other stuff that's going on in the news. We've got plenty of other good stuff, some guests tomorrow. It's going to be a busy day. As always, Justice Malala pops by with a burning platform. Here's what you need to know. Are you ready? Jacob Zuma has just over 40 days to pay back the money. Well, 7.8 million rand of the money, to be exact, a mere 7% of what the Nkandla upgrades cost. Elsewhere in South Africa, people are still trying to buy things with the 7% of the money and obviously being told to piss off. In other news, there's a leopard terrorizing the small Western Cape seaside town of Betty's Bay. Locals say they're being caught in the crossfire of a nasty feud between the leopard and the local penguin colony. Something that started back when the penguins started spreading shit about Cape leopards not being part of the Big Five. Three penguins have so far been killed, but they refuse to retract the statement. And finally, the Proteas have slumped to fourth in the world in the latest ODI rankings. Coach Russell Domingo, the best cricket coach in the world, is not overly concerned about this, though. He's set to release a statement shortly about where next for the Proteas. He's just waiting for his six-year-old son to tell him what to say. And we will see you tomorrow. Have an excellent day. Keep it on cliffcentral.com. Be good. cliffcentral.com